Welcome, everybody, to Imagine This Podcast, the Giggity Giggity Edition.
Giggity Giggity.
This is David Lee.
It's Mac Antigua.
You know, our guest today actually probably will can help us with this lush tropical beach problem.
Why do you call that a lush tropical beach problem?
It's not a problem.
You're like pro lush tropical beach.
It is not a problem. However, I think some folks in our office think it's a problem. How's your gig today as the producer sitting behind the big chair?
Man, it's a lot of pressure. It's a lot of pressure. But I love the Rodecaster Pro. It's one of the best products. I'm hoping for like swag from Rode Company, actually.
We're not paid for that.
No, yet. Not at all.
Not yet.
It's awesome though.
Rodecaster?
It makes anybody feel like they could podcast.
Including us.
That is the illusion we are operating under. And no one is disabusing us of that notion.
So 4 weeks into the podcast, we have friends.
We have friends. Thanks for everyone who subscribed. Our subscribership has gone into the double digits, which is awesome. And we're also seeing people are shouting us out on Twitter. Love it, you know, @imagine_MKE and like commenting on it. Wanna shout out to @DanCondon, who noted that he listened to our secrets episode and shared the thing about the Pfister. When you do stuff, share it, you know, add us, if you will, and you get to be a #imaginary friend.
Love it.
Right? That's a thing. Dan Connon's imaginary friend number one. So thanks for shouting us out and sharing it.
Lindsay, our director of marketing, is so sad that she didn't come up with that.
I know. It made me feel so good. That being said, let's get to the work. David, we're always talking about the work. And to lead into the work, a question about gigs, because we've both been artists. You know, some of us are more dormant than others, but we've done gigs, right? And just want to ask you, and I'll share a quick story. Tell me about a gig, you know, a paid gig that you've done as an artist, and, you know, what is a weird one or a unique one?
So it feels like gigs are sort of the lifeblood of artists, right? Yeah. So when I was in Los Angeles, the second screenwriting gig I picked up was writing a script based on the story of the director. This director wanted to make a movie about a killer robot sex doll. And so I was hired to write that script, and it had, imagine this, tech bros, rampant AI, plus Evil Dead, right? Like,
that's a winner.
It didn't get made.
What year was that?
This was in 2003.
Pre-streaming.
It included the line, I found this last night as I was preparing for the episode, the line, just because you're some vampire pimp looking mother effer doesn't mean you're going to continually trick me with your necrophilia BS. I've been had too many times tonight.
You wrote that?
I wrote that line. That came out of my brain.
Onto final draft. Probably should have stayed first draft.
Yeah, you're not kidding.
So they never made it?
Never made it.
It was stuck in turnaround?
You know, it probably would have gotten made now.
Oh my gosh.
All of the different channels.
It would be on Quibi.
That's right.
It would be on CISO.
What's the thriller one? The thriller streaming?
Chiller or something?
Chiller, yeah. Anyways.
So you were just born at the wrong time. I'll go with a gig that I did when I was in college, improv group. So at Northwestern, there was this improv group that was known that had like Julia Dreyfus, Seth Meyers, like all these titans have gone through it. I was in the other one. We like took all the other gigs they didn't want to do. So
the other guys.
We were like, literally the other guys, whatever, like they didn't want to do. We're like, we'll do it. We'll do these gigs. And so we decided on campus, we can't do Spanish club anymore. We gotta make something different. So like, let's do gigs in Chicago. Like we'll actually take the train in the city and do gigs in Chicago. That was going to make us different. And so we actually booked a paying gig. It was like $30. And like all the coffee we can drink at this coffee house right off of Belmont stop called Cafe Voltaire. It's not there anymore. I think it's an Anthropology now, right? Like it's all changed. But this is like little coffee house. We performed in the basement at 11:30 on Saturday nights. So we had to take the train down. And maybe there are three people most for this. But it was technically a paying gig.
Man, I miss those days.
We paid for their L fare up and back pretty much. So those were the gigs.
That's awesome.
Awesome. So that being said, talking about gigs, David, the work of Imagine MKE is ensuring artists thrive. And do you want to speak a little bit about actually getting into the
Are super excited to have Jared Judge from Book Live, who is actually on our floor here at No Studios, to talk a little bit about the service that
we definitely benefit on the travel budget this week for
it's incredible.
Podcast. Yeah, we saved a lot of money on that.
So let's bring on Jared.
Jared, what's up?
Hey, how's it going? Thanks so much for having me.
Yeah.
Hey, so I remember when we first started, I think it was on, we probably met on my like first or second week here on the job, and you'd sort of pitched me on what Book Live was about. And I remember thinking, this is incredible. So you told me a little bit about your origin story. Can you just share with our listeners how you got to this point of becoming a an app developer?
Yeah, absolutely. So it's kind of a crazy story. It has a lot of turnarounds, but I'll make it super, super quick and easy. So I'm a musician. I've been a musician ever since I picked up a violin when I was 8 years old. And that stuck with me pretty much for the rest of my life. But I'm also a super tech geek. So even when I was picking up a violin, on the other table at home was a computer, my parents' computer that I...
Imagine you playing violin with one hand and a computer.
Your hands on the Texas Instruments speaking spell.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, but actually that computer was taken apart. Like I would take apart my parents' computer.
Wow.
And it would really annoy the heck out of them. But I would always put it back together.
Mm.
So practicing violin in one room, taking apart the computer in the other. Fast forward to college, actually, when I started to get my undergrad as a music education major. I was always super passionate about music, wanted to, you know, share my love and become a music teacher. Mm. But I was starting to run low on money, had this opportunity to play a friend's wedding, play violin for it.
Okay.
This was my first professional gig, just like you guys had yours. This was one of my firsts.
Okay. Now just you.
Well, it was me and another violinist.
Okay, got it.
We were going to do duets for a mutual acquaintance's wedding.
Got it.
I was pumped. You know, I'd been eating ramen in the dorm. And I was like, I'm getting Panera tonight.
Somebody made it.
Yeah, exactly.
Panera.
So we played the wedding. Bride walks down to our beautiful violin music. And then she walks and keeps going to the reception, and we never got a check.
Oh.
So... That was very disappointing. I had to eat ramen again that night.
Man. Wow.
And that was like my first gigging experience, and it was a complete flop.
Oh.
I mean, the music was good, but payment was bad.
So it was one of the things that got lost in the shuffle, right? And just literally.
You know, you would assume that.
Oh.
But turns out there was no expectation of payment on the bride's side.
Oh, wow. Perfect. So again, lack of clarity, right? Like different messages were out there, and then there's nothing to fall back on going, hey, what's up?
Yeah.
So, oh, wow. Okay.
Exactly.
Okay.
So that's when like the wheels started turning in undergrad, and I was like, this music business thing is probably more important than people give it credit for. Because all of our music classes had literally just been performance issues or history or music theory,
right?
Nothing about music business, nothing about a contract which would have saved the day.
Mm-hmm.
So then fast forward to grad school, because I decided to go get another degree in music, sink more money in an education that wouldn't help me make money. And so that's
what brought you out to Milwaukee, right?
Exactly, because I was on the East Coast before. Came out to Milwaukee, started to get my degree in orchestra conducting, wanted to be a...
Very lucrative field.
Yeah, it's like becoming a player for the Bucks.
It can't be.
If you make it.
Yeah, right. That's make the NBA become an orchestra conductor. Probably about, I'm going to go NBA. That's like better odds.
Yeah, I think there are more NBA players than orchestra conductors.
I think so.
There.
Right.
So anyway, I was in grad school and once again, I was eating ramen. And I,
by the way, we're not sponsored by Top Ramen. I just want to, I mean, Roadcaster, and we'll take all the ramen though. We'll take the ramen.
Yeah. Go ahead. That's coming next. So anyway, I was still eating ramen and money was getting even tighter because now I wasn't in the dorms anymore. I was paying rent. I had to buy groceries and ramen. Well, it's cheap, but I ate a lot of it. And I was like, I need to make some money. What do I do? Hmm. And I was faced with this decision. Do I go and get a job in, you know, not playing music?
Yep.
Or do I try to make an opportunity for myself where I can make money and also be an artist? And I didn't want to flip burgers.
Mm-hmm.
So that's when the plan came to me. I was going to create my own wedding string quartet using the lesson that I learned from my undergrad experience, that I was going to focus on the business side of it.
Okay.
And to do that, I would bring back my tech geekness and create my own technology to help me with this.
Got it.
So the first step was making a website. I had already knew how to do that, and so putting up a website for the string quartet, super easy.
What year is this?
2016.
Got it.
So when I put up the string quartet's website, all of a sudden we started getting bookings like right away. It was it was fascinating.
Mm.
I think just the fact that most artists are never taught how to make a website,
especially
one that is optimized to get a booking,
right,
set my website apart because I did that.
Mm-hmm.
So we were getting booked. Our first gig was actually in Chicago too. So yeah, I traveled all the way down to Illinois, played our first gig, just me.
Oh,
but the bookings kept rolling in. It was amazing.
Oh wow.
So it started to become more than just me because a quartet is four people.
Got it.
Started to have to coordinate the schedules of them as well. And we're all busy. We've got classes. And that was starting to become a full-time job.
Wow.
And I was in grad school. So what was I to do? Actually, my conducting teacher started to get a little annoyed with me because I wasn't practicing. I was focusing on making money.
I feel like in the movie version of this, you're just like asleep in class, right? Because you've just been doing all these gigs and your conducting teacher's like raps you about the head. Like,
oh, I totally was.
Jared, what are you doing? I assumed it's like German. Or Eastern European, vaguely Eastern European.
Oh, it was a fun time. Yeah, so I was like literally up, like you expect, overnight, trying to coordinate my friends' schedules. And then I was like, I'm smarter than this. What do I do?
Yeah.
And that's when I realized like I could code a custom scheduling solution to coordinate all of the group. That way I just say, okay, we got a gig on May 20th. Press this button and it'll find me the right players, send them a message, have them send a button, click a button that says, yes, I'm available or no, I'm not. And then I don't have to touch anything. It just fills the gig for me.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
So that was like the first big piece I automated in the whole gigging thing.
Got it.
Then I solved that problem, which gave me more time to, of course, get more gigs. I didn't spend that time in the practice. I was a pretty bad grad student.
So this is why he's not conducting an orchestra today.
Absolutely.
It's because of this, right?
Absolutely.
Not practice. You know, how do you get to Carnegie Hall, right? You practice.
Not practice.
Yeah. Not practicing will not get you there.
How do you crush it as the leading violinist for weddings on the North Shore?
That's right.
That's what you do it.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, I was making paid performance opportunities for myself.
Wow.
And I was getting paid to practice in the field rather than in the practice room.
Wow.
So yeah, I mean, it just kind of progressed and snowballed like that. I solved one problem. I realized there was a bottleneck in my artistic process and then I would solve it again with technology.
Yeah.
And eventually I had this package of software tools that ran a group for itself. And I started to have 50, 100 string players starting to like sub in for my group.
Wow.
And I started to get requests by these string players. Could we apply these software tools to our own groups?
Okay.
And I said,
what year is this?
This was about late 2017.
So about a year to get to this point. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. And so we thought about it. Like, what we're doing is we're helping artists make money.
Right.
Because these gigs would not be available to them otherwise. This tool, right now I'm using it just for my group. What would happen if another group used it?
Mm-hmm.
And I thought about it. I talked to a lot of artists and I realized like this is sorely needed.
Yeah.
These artists are kind of like banging their heads against the wall doing things manually. If they had a software tool to do it for them, they that also could make more money and increase the art activity in our city and outside.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, yeah, let's do it. Let's put a plan together. We're going to call this software Book Live Pro.
Okay.
And so we launched Book Live Pro as a software tool to help these artists manage their groups internally.
So if I'm a band or an individual, I could buy the software and I'm doing it myself.
Yeah. So it's online, pro.booklive.com. It's a software subscription. And so we activated that plan. We had over 700 people sign up for it.
Wow.
And we had really high level, incredible musicians. Like, these were people who took what they do seriously enough that they wanted to implement a system to help them do it better.
Got it.
So I was still playing gigs, and I still do today. But when I was talking to wedding planners for these gigs, I was just the string quartet at the ceremony. They started to ask me, do you know of any jazz combos for the cocktail hour? Do you know a cover band for the reception?
Yeah. As like, the wedding night beforehand, or you know, wedding rehearsal. Do you have anything?
Yeah, the rehearsal.
Dinner. Yeah, the rehearsal dinner, right?
Yeah, and so I was like, well, I'm not one of those myself, but I have 700 friends. And so I started to actually get my friends booked, even though they weren't in my group themselves. So this was kind of the first, I don't know, first iteration of the artist marketplace.
Yeah.
I had this directory of friends who were all super talented, and I started to have these wedding planners who wanted to connect with them, and I was doing the work myself.
Yeah.
And so it kind of snowballed from there. I got more wedding planners involved. The venue started to hear about it. The musicians started to hear about it. Other art forms started to hear about it.
Yeah.
And that's kind of when I met you guys, was when the artist marketplace was in its very baby form.
Right. Zygote embryonic phase.
Yeah. So, yeah, the problem that it solves is that these musicians don't have the marketing skills or the business skills to get these gigs themselves.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So it kind of short circuits that process. They don't need to have that knowledge.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I sort of reflect back a little bit to when I was 24, 25 out in Los Angeles. Like, the last thing I wanted to do was to go out and try to drum up business for myself, right? All I wanted to do was be at home, smoke cigarettes, and write scripts.
You still do.
Maybe not smoke cigarettes, but you know, there was no, film school never taught me how to go out and like pitch an idea or do any of that stuff. Right. It was just like, here's how you write a script. Here's a 3-act structure. Buy final draft. Go do it.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah. There was no sense of like, how do you develop a business? How do you actually sell yourself? How do you sell your products to the marketplace? And I think that's what's so interesting about the Book Live marketplace, is that it helps to address some of those asymmetries for a group of people who just don't have, who may not have invested in those skills, right? It connects them to the market.
So just want to reiterate, when folks put themselves on this platform, artists put themselves on this platform, are there, like, how do you make money? Let's get to the cuts. How does it work? Because it's like, is it like you take a cut? Is it like, could you just speak to that?
Oh, so yeah. How does Book Live make money?
Or just how does, right. I mean, we know how the artists make money because you've made it frictionless, the ability to sign contracts. But obviously you're not an altruist. You're a good guy, but you got to keep the lights on. Could you just talk about that frame?
Like, absolutely, how does that. So obviously every business has to make money.
Yep.
But we made it our mission to only make money when the artists make money.
Got it.
So we do take a cut. But our whole philosophy is to help artists make a living doing what they love to do. The traditional booking agent model, for musicians anyway, is that booking agents will take a 20 to 25% cut of the gig.
Yep.
And we don't believe that's sustainable.
Got it.
We don't believe that helps artists actually make a living. We hope that makes the booking agents make a living. But
that's why I'm starting a website called Book Agent Live. That's right. I'm helping them.
Go ahead. Mac, always the capitalist.
Good Lord. Go ahead.
So we decided 20% is not going to work for us.
Right.
10% is not even going to work for us.
Okay.
We do 8% right now.
Okay.
And our goal is, as we grow, to decrease that
volume. You're hoping the volume will make sure you can push that number.
Exactly. Right. Yeah. Because we want artists to take home as much of their gig as possible.
Right.
Obviously, our service of getting them the gig is valuable.
Right.
But we want them to be able to take home more and more of the gig as we grow. So they grow as we grow.
8% versus 20% is already pretty good. Mm-hmm. And then when you hopefully increase traffic, it's going to be an even better deal for the artist.
Absolutely.
Ideally.
So again, just to clarify, like, so if I'm a musician in the system, I get an email when somebody wants to book me, I press accept, I review the dates, I press accept. The system takes care of all the contracting, all the payment and everything else. It's literally, to Mac's point, frictionless.
Absolutely.
Wow.
Do you ever booked a place on Airbnb?
Yep.
Okay. So you know how easy it is. Basically, the way it works is you have a listing on our site. We will help you curate your profile. We'll get you photos, we'll get your videos all highlighted on there. We'll even help you set a few basic offerings, which are basically your packages. So I can play a wedding for 1 hour. I can have a 2-hour package.
Right.
I can have a 3-hour package. We'll help you price that out, something that's fair for you and your group mates. And then now it's, once it's public, a client comes on. So let's say it's a bride. She finds the perfect group. Say it's your group. She looks at you, she falls in love with what she hears and sees. Then there is a book now button where she can actually look at your offerings and say, I want to go with the 2-hour package. Click the book button, enter her credit card, and then sends you, the artist, a message. You've got a new booking. Click here to accept or decline.
Mm.
Takes care of all the contracts, takes care of all the payments automatically. All you have to do is show up to your gig and perform your art. Super simple.
Wow.
We booked many of our performers on the main stage for our launch party through Book Live.
There you go.
It was super easy.
Wow. So yeah, and for a lot of listeners, once you say Airbnb for that, then like their heads is like, oh, wow, it's super
easy.
We get
it. Yeah, the mental model's right.
I get that easy. Awesome.
So I remember we later had a conversation about what this could look like for other artists, right?
So this is sort of, we're now in June, summer 2019. Last summer,
right.
This conversation.
Right, yeah. Right. No, even more closely, right? Because as part of our agenda, we were tasked with building a database of artists so that they could get work. And that was when I gave you a call and I was like, hey, people want us to do this thing, and I don't think we can do it because we have no expertise in it. What does this look like for you? And I remember you saying, well, it's kind of in our pipeline, but not close. And we were like, well, can we accelerate it to develop this sort of broader thing called, how do we accelerate the artist marketplace to be much bigger and more representative, not more representative, but to include other artists, not just musical acts.
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
So can you give any updates on where that is right now?
Oh,
we're super excited about that.
Absolutely. I'm proud to announce that the artist marketplace is officially launched.
Woo!
For all art forms.
Wow.
That's incredible.
So yeah.
So my origami friend can now get on there.
Yep. As long as they perform an art live at an event.
Got it.
They can sign up.
Got it.
Event-based art.
Event-based art.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Got it.
Yeah. So we've got categories for musicians. Obviously, it's where we started. It's where the category is the most full right now. We have a performing arts category, which includes all of your other performing arts like theater, dance troupe, spoken word, etc. We have a visual arts category for your live paintings, your muralists, your gallery installations, etc. And then we have a multimedia category, which is kind of our catch-all for photography, videography.
Podcasters. We don't need more competition.
Yeah, don't sign up for
actually,
that
we
one.
Should put ourselves on
yeah,
there.
Yeah, we should probably put ourselves on there.
Shoot. Absolutely.
Shoot. Could you give me like a 4% discount? All right, but you're saying there's a catch-all because who knows what emerging practices could
right.
be to
culinary to arts, you know?
Yeah, as long as you do it live.
As long as you do it live.
Awesome.
Belongs on Book Live.
And so,
I think we just birthed. As long as you do it live, it belongs at Book Live. Seriously, that's good. I like that. That's good. Man.
That's another one that
we got a lot
gonna
catch,
be sad.
We got a lot
about.
Of catchphrases on the show. We're just birthing them. Okay,
So I think what's so exciting about this is that over the next few weeks, Kanita and our artists work group are going to be figuring out how we continue to fill up that pipeline for you, right? Because. There's this incredible service. If we don't have the supply, right, in the system, it doesn't matter if I'm trying to book an origami artist, if there's not an origami artist in there, I can't, it's not as useful. Right?
Right.
So we really are looking forward to helping and partnering with you to get as many of our incredible Milwaukee based artists, into the system and helping them sort of think through, right, what kinds of products they can mm-hmm. they can sell, right? I think it's maybe a little bit easier with musical acts.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have there's a model for going to a place to play a show, right? As opposed to the example I always talk about with Mac, because you know your background in improv,
right?
Incredible applicability for HR and corporate training.
Yeah, right? Like to me that was like next level, right? It's one thing to perform. But if an artist can think about how do they do their practice in a way that teaches something, right, around creativity, then you can open the door for
all kinds of stuff
there, right? Like schools to bring you in, HR departments to bring you in. And again, that I think that's another possible market that, you know, every profile, right, has commentary, right, from past clients. So that'll also help inform whether or not this is the right client for you, right? So it's kind of Yelpish, is that fair to say? Right?
Absolutely. It's got reviews on it.
Yeah.
Right now the majority of our reviews are from weddings.
Got it.
But yes, absolutely. A corporate client could hire an artist to make a beat with their HR department.
Right.
And then afterwards give the musician or other artists a review saying this was perfect for my corporate training.
Yeah.
And that would signal to other corporate HR reps that this would be an ideal group for what they're looking for.
Right.
So right now, if we were to go on to Book Live and search for somebody to create new lush tropical beats for our podcast jingle, could we find that?
Actually, there's this band. Am I allowed to drop some names?
Go drop a name. That's fine.
So Lapu-Lele, which is a Milwaukee-based group.
Yeah.
Incredible group. I think they've played Summerfest. Their lead ukulele player is a 13-year-old.
Oh, wow.
And they make beats. They make more tropical Hawaiian-style music.
Okay.
That I would say is akin more to like the SpongeBob-style music. But it's incredible. They make a luau party to whatever event go to.
Ah.
So I'm not sure if that's exactly your lush tropical beats.
Lush tropical corporate, maybe.
Yeah, I think we got to make sure it's like 160 beats per minute. Whatever it is, we have to make sure it's 160 BPM. That's stellar. And let's talk about the artist amplifier program, because there's an element of, it sounds like you got to put the pipeline in of people, but they also have to gig out somewhere, right? And can you speak to how do you increase that part? Am I understanding that correctly? You have to increase the amount of spaces these places could go, folks can go gig out.
Yeah, absolutely. So the Artist Amplifier Program is a program for people who recommend artists to other people to book. So say you are the wedding sales manager at the Hyatt, and you have a couple who comes to you and says, I'm looking for a reception band, a cover band to play for my wedding reception. Who do I go to? The Artist Amplifier Program makes it easy for that corporate, that wedding sales manager to make a recommendation. Mm. It helps amplify art in the city by increasing the amount of artists available to them because it makes it so easy for them to find the band on Book Live. Mm-hmm. So basically, the wedding sales manager is empowered to go ahead and make these recommendations on the Book Live platform. And we are also, the Artist Amplifier Program is committed to giving a portion of the cut that we make back to the community.
Ah, I got you.
So that's the other way that we amplify art.
Mm.
So this wedding sales manager can either choose to take their the portion of the money that we give back. They can reinvest it back into the artist that's performing there. They also can reinvest it back into their own company if they choose that's the best way to amplify art.
Mm.
Or they can choose to have us donate a portion of it to charity.
Mm.
So we're focusing on arts charities. We're actually focusing on school arts programs.
Got it.
Because we have a big push towards let's get the youth involved in the arts. They are the future of our arts and culture here.
Mm-hmm.
So we really see the Artist Amplifier Program as a way of amplifying art, both the artists that are currently there and the future artists that are going to be filling their shoes.
Great.
So exciting.
Great stuff.
And what I love about this is that it feels like, to me, Jared, you are the example of the kinds of folks we want in our city, right? You come here wanting to study music and conducting at UWM, and because you're creative, talented, you found a company, right? You found a company doing really exciting stuff in the arts. And I think that really sort of speaks to that incredible crossover effect of artists doing interesting things in our city, maybe outside of the thing that they trained for. I think that's so exciting.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
And because you're such a great leader, Jared, I don't know if you know this, David and I have this incredible power.
It's super awesome.
It's a power. We are able to designate the next arts and cultural czar. Which means you're going to tell us what changes need to happen in the arts and cultural landscape.
There's only one downside though.
Yeah.
That power only lasts for about 2 minutes.
Yeah.
Oh boy.
Yeah.
No pressure.
So once you say it, it probably lingers for about a minute and a half and then your term ends. So here you go. So What should change? What do you wish was different of the arts and cultural ecosystem in Milwaukee?
Yeah, two things. One is I think we need more spaces for in-progress work. So right now I think most of the venues for art are catered towards art that's completed, a stage for a performance to happen, a gallery for finished work. I think we need more space for creatives to create art rather than just showcase what has already been created.
Do you have like a promising practice or a great example of something in Milwaukee that resembles what you're talking about?
I mean, there are studios. Like I ran into a guy at Fund Milwaukee who has a warehouse that he rents out to artists for very cheap for them to create their space. I don't remember his name off the top of my head.
Yeah, right.
I think that's great.
So more like that. You're saying more stuff like that.
Yeah. Recording studios, practice spaces for musicians, things like that. Second thing is funding. Right now, the majority of the funding goes to the institutional arts, like your symphony, your ballet. More funding needs to happen at the grassroots level. Mm-hmm. That's the way we increase the number of artists who are able to do this for a living and increase our city as an arts and culture hub.
Do you know of any examples, either on a micro basis or maybe you've learned about in other cities, of how they've been able to get resources directly to emerging like grassroots artists themselves or stuff that isn't institutional?
The best example I've seen is Kickstarter. Mm-hmm. There's a Milwaukee musician named Kulla who recently did a very large crowdfunding campaign.
Gotcha.
He just announced a couple weeks back that he was fully funded that way.
Okay.
So that's a way for him to work on his next project. It's amazing.
So there's something about this artist was able to go directly through Kickstarter. People could directly get to him there. And so that's one example of that happening. Mm-hmm. It was a great term, a czar, though. It was a very good time.
It was really good. Yesterday, we had actually appointed Mac as the czar of our Twitter, and he quit.
I accepted, but then I renounced it immediately. But I will say this, Jared, your leadership and our term will not be ignored. We will carry the legacy of that in the work at Imagine MK to make sure we create more spaces for emerging practice, as well as how do we get more funding directly to artists themselves. So even though you're no longer czar, we've heard you,
and it is in the czar playbook.
It's been an honor and a privilege to serve.
It is in the czar playbook. All right, so we're pivoting almost to the end here, Jared, and this is the part of the show called Joyful Abundance. David, what does that mean?
It means that we take the end of our show to chat with our guests about what's one thing that they are really loving right now in our Milwaukee arts and culture scene, because our city is full of joy and abundance in arts. So, Jared, what is your one celebration of Milwaukee arts and culture?
Yeah, so I really want to celebrate the youth arts and culture that's happening here. There's some amazing organizations that are really pushing forth youth arts. I want to shout out a couple of those, if that's okay.
Yeah, of course. This is all about those shout-outs.
Do it.
Yeah, so I want to shout out MISO, Milwaukee Youth Symphony Orchestra. I've had a chance to work with some of their young violinists. These talented 8-year-olds are playing violin amazingly well. I want to shout out the Milwaukee Youth Children's Chorus. I want to also shout out all the other groups that are at the MIAC building, like First Stage, Next Act, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. I just think Milwaukee has an amazing youth arts and culture scene, and we need to go see more youth shows out there. So attend Milwaukee Youth Symphony concerts, attend the Milwaukee Children's Choir, just go see more shows.
Awesome. Awesome. And you know what'll help is when they get more booking shows, I Book Live.
Absolutely.
That's what we're going to make sure. Booklive.com is where they can catch you. And excited about this artist marketplace because I hear there's a party coming in July.
Oh, yes.
When we make sure there's a lot of Milwaukee artists playing at all those events.
Big party.
Awesome. So, Jared, thanks for joining us. Where else? How else can they catch you outside of Booklive.com?
So you can catch us at booklive.com. You can catch us on Instagram at booklive app. And we're also on Facebook, facebook.com/booklive app.
All right. Thanks, Jared, for being on the show. And this is time for the outro. It's time for the outro, David, which people know as they check out.
This is the first time that we can actually say we have a donor. So we got a shout out.
Yes.
This is real friend, Antonio Butts, with donating, supporting the pod. You can support the pod too on our website at imaginemke.org. You can talk to us at pod@imaginemke.org and follow us on Insta and Twitter at imagine_MKE.
We'll catch you next time. Thanks for listening.
Bye.
Bye.